Right now on VFN TV, we're going back to hear from Dr. Brown and his new book, talk about that Donald Trump is not your savior, but it's important to see that you can be maybe not the man of God, but you can be God's man for the hour and how to pay attention. Also, we're going to hear from Cindy Jacobs, how this is a tipping point. This is a decision point. We can't assume things are already done already. We have to participate in the process of a democracy right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, your host, and joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, we've got some very critical, crucial times
right now, aren't we? Very important. I mean, we can't take things for granted. And I'm afraid that many people today are, but we have to, especially in terms of this election that we have coming up, we need to pray, seek the Lord, humble ourselves, and vote at the same time.
Well, it's so important to understand, because if you study history, and from what we understood in the last maybe 10 years, America quit teaching history, period.
Yes.
And
they taught a version of history.
Yeah, a revision version of history. But if you look at history, when people... Some countries, or most countries over the years, when they decided to change leaders, they didn't like this leader, they wanted that leader, it would be a war take place.
People died.
Well, there'd be a war, there would be people infighting, and next thing you know, somebody dies and somebody leads.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how things switched for many, many thousands of years.
Sure.
And then this thing happened around, you know, from when King David was, it was King John, that they're in the Magna Carta, they're about 500 plus years ago, and they just came up with this idea of saying, you know, we need some representative type form of government, because King John was taking everybody's land, taking everybody's, you know, widowed wife and forcing all their property to be his. And just, there was just no rights for people. So the Magna Carta was written by the people, and it was accepted for a moment and then declined. But that's where the United States Constitution is a derivative from that kind of concept. And what they're trying to, what our founding fathers decided was, if we're going to have a government able to switch leadership without shedding blood, it requires for the people to participate in the process, which means vote. Now, people say, oh, I can't believe how rude people are to each other, and they talk so bad, they point out negative things, and I got to get in my car, and I got to drive two blocks to the precinct, and I got to study what they stand for. And it's like, we're not going to war.
Hello. Yeah.
To be able to switch power, and this is what they've always said. If you listen very carefully to past transitions of power, they would say that the back when there was like newscasters that casted the news versus preferences, they would say, and the country has just shifted power without the shedding of blood or drawing of guns.
Almost every election.
Yes.
Every election.
It's huge.
It's a huge thing. And sad to say that historically, voting turnout is always low. They're making a big thing now as a reason as if, if it's high. No, it's just higher, but it's still significantly lower.
So when you study and you understand history, you can tell your kids, teach them around the table. You can remind your spouse. We have to get informed about who we're going to vote for and what they stand for and the values. You don't vote party. Vote specifically about what does that man or woman stand for. If they lock themselves into a party platform, then find out what the platform says. And when we looked at the platform of some of them literally denied God's existence, denied Israel being the Jerusalem be at the capital of Israel. This is weird, crazy things that helps you decide as a Christian.
And as a Christian, you have to determine, too, are you going to vote your values or are you going to vote God's values? You know, we don't have a factor in this decision if we want to honor the Lord. God's, I believe, going to hold us accountable for the levers that we pull and the decisions that we make. So we want to be informed.
And you can go to get informed. You can go to vfnkb.com/vote. And we have different links to different voters guides to be able to inform you, maybe about your judges that you have to vote on, some different things. But access to different people that are sharing about how does this person stand on these particular viewpoints and all. It's called values. And so I think about this. I think about, you know, when you're thinking about your participation, it's so important for you not to get your direction from a leaning, some media outlets that just basically became outlets for political parties.
Propaganda, yeah.
Yeah, and if that's true, then you can, like, okay, I get their viewpoint of their particular party or their leaning, but you got to find out yourself. I know when my governor was running for governor, and when I first saw that particular governor, I said, you know, how do you stand on this value? How do you stand on that? He said, check out the website. I said, I'm checking out you right now. How do you stand on this value?
Yeah.
And guess what? He stood up for every one of those values and he stayed with them. I saw him again, you know, when he was running for a second term and I got a chance to talk to him and I looked at him because it's so unusual. I said, you did what you said you're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing. And he signed a bill called the Born Alive
Baby
Bill.
Baby
Born Alive Bill, which means doctors who actually kill children that are born alive, because that's what they did. They just kind of let them die prior to that. Now they actually would go to jail if they did not provide all the care that every citizen is due
to save that
when the child
life.
Is born. And so this is so important. And understand, your leaders determine whether your sons or your daughters go to war. Most wars are fought by men and women between the ages of 18 and 22 years old. I think right around there, I think Steve Kalaszewski was talking about that just recently. And so we're making a decision as someone, whatever age we are, are we willing to send these young folks to war? And if, you know, for what reasons? And who is the person is going to be in leadership? And are they just doing things that are going to create friction and contention? Mm-hmm. And secondly, a lot of times the reason why countries end up in war is because they're not focusing on the economy that helps the nation rise up to pay for its military, to pay for its infrastructure, to be able to pay for security for the borders, to be able to take care of our senior citizens and take care of our schools. And that happens with a rising economy. And right now, and the economy in America is the best reportedly that has ever been in the history of America.
Mm.
The unemployment rate for all of America is lower than it's been in 50 years, but lowest ever in the history for African Americans, lowest in the history for Hispanic Americans, lowest in the history for Asian Americans, like a 60-plus year low for women.
Yes.
It's just a
low for veterans.
Your veterans, even young people who didn't graduate from high school.
Yeah.
That don't have their degree, that they're getting employed. Even prisoners are getting employed. As a matter of fact, we have more job openings right now than we have people to fill them. Listen, that's a great problem. That means God's blessing our nation. Now it's time to have a merit-based system of people coming to the country from all around the world. Maybe that's you. Listen, we're going to need you, but come in the legal way because we're going to need thousands and thousands of people
Absolutely.
Who want the American dream, who believe in the American values, who understands our Constitution, who wants to be, though we're many, we're one, e plural. And that happens. And I think about this. I think about what Dr. Brown wrote about in his book, talking about our presidents are never our savior. But listen, understand very specifically that it's important that they can be maybe not a man of God, but they can be God's man for the hour. And he's being interviewed right now by James Robinson. Check it out.
I'm continuing to talk to Dr. Michael Brown. You can watch the previous interviews. He's written a book, Donald Trump is Not My Savior. It's not a criticism of Donald Trump. Neither myself or our guest, Dr. Michael Brown, were, you know, believing that Donald Trump was even going to get the nomination. But then as we began to watch, and I would say, Michael, that we watched in amazement, and that it just seemed he kept rising to the top. I made a statement in the spring before it was even obvious that it was going to be narrowed down to basically he and Ted Cruz, that I don't think we, meaning Christians, evangelicals, Catholics, all Christians who are praying, I said, I don't think we're going to get our champion. I think we're going to get the people's champion.
Mm.
And how we, the people of God and the church, respond to the people and their champion is going to say a whole lot about the church. And for me, as a member of Christ's body of believers in the church, I felt like I was to speak truth in love, very faithfully and forcefully, as directly as possible to Donald Trump, which he opened the door for me to do that. Would you call that a miracle that door even opened?
Yeah, and you told me repeatedly that in 55 years of ministry at that point, no one had ever received you more openly and graciously. And I knew that you could read people well enough. So again, it's one of those things where, you know, a whole audience is laughing at a comedian and you're not laughing and you're thinking he's not funny at all. And then at a certain point you think, I guess I'm just not getting the joke. Mm-hmm. So there was something that God was doing that just was so different than what I expected, so different than what I saw. So I had to ask myself, what is appealing to the people? What is getting the people's attention? And by the time he got elected as the Republican nominee, at that point I had to recognize God was doing something. There was just no other way it was going to happen. And the fact that as strong as you got with him, I remember you texted me, you said, Michael, I just rebuked him. I was so strong with him. You even called him back once, right, to apologize for rebuking him so strongly. And he thanked you. So I thought, okay, something's going on here. And that's what got my attention. And I think if we keep that divine perspective, because it's really easy to go back to just all the criticism and the, oh, I wish you didn't do this. And did he have to say this? And what about this? And, you know, the Bob Woodward books and the other books and all the chaos and all the stuff, you know, all the negative. It's very easy to swing back in that and fail to recognize what God continues to do.
You said reading the Woodward book made you love him more, Trump.
Yeah,
and appreciate him more, amazingly, you said.
Yeah, in fact, if it was as bad as described, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, when that horrific tape came out of him making those miserable remarks about women, it didn't surprise me. That's who I thought he was, especially back then. Hopefully he continues to change, but none of that surprised me. So even if all the worst stuff in the Woodward book was true, even if it was, the fact is Trump really seemed to care about people. He seemed to feel it was really important that he kept his campaign promises.
He wants people who believe in prayer praying for him.
Yeah.
And he shows an unbelievable admiration of the Jesus that he sees in other serious Christians. And you can see it. I mean, he absolutely admires Christ in others. And you know, Jesus said, if they receive you, to his disciples, they receive me.
Mm.
And I made the statement that no one has ever received me in any leadership role more openly, more fully and freely than did Donald Trump. So if Jesus says they receive you, they receive me. Well, now you work out the theological ramifications of that. All I'm telling you is he received. And what I'm believing is that when you sow the word of God faithfully, unapologetically, unwavering, then I believe it always accomplishes its purpose.
Mm.
And I think we're watching that. Would you agree the statement that I made when people were pushing back? That God uses imperfect people to accomplish his perfect will. Is the Bible not filled with imperfect people God uses in incredible, indescribable ways, almost always as an answer to the humility and prayers of his people? So God could use anyone,
yeah,
however imperfect they are.
Yeah, look, that's all he has is imperfect people. Outside of his son Jesus, everyone that's worked on the planet has been imperfect. It dawned on me years ago that God is not waiting for doctrinal perfection because he uses us. In fact, he uses us in different groups. We disagree with each other doctrinally, but he's using us because no one has perfect knowledge. No one has perfect character. Listen, one of my reflections at the end of the book is that God uses unlikely vessels, but character does matter. In other words, if you have character flaws, there's going to be some bad fruit from that, but that's all God has to use is people with flaws. The less flaws, the better. But we needed someone with a forehead of steel, like a bull in a china shop. I cannot imagine what it's like to be in Washington, D.C. I cannot imagine the spiritual opposition, the level of the political establishment, Republican, Democrat, the whole swamp, deep state, whatever. I can't imagine what's going on. You need someone with a forehead of steel to take that on. Now, with a forehead of steel, you may step on some toes along the way. But when you look at, say, just where President Trump has held his ground with Supreme Court appointees, federal court appointees, and people are saying he could change the state of the courts for 30 to 40 years ahead. Okay, I wish he didn't tweet certain things he tweeted, but it's going to be far more consequential over the decades to have these people in court. So it's just like with all of us. I wish I did things differently years ago. I wish I was closer to the Lord. I wish I was more like Jesus. So people have been blessed by the good in me and hurt by my flaws. The same with everybody. It's just on steroids with the president.
Yeah, and we've all failed. Have we learned from our failures? Are we stronger as a result of it? That's very important for all of us to look at and consider. So I really want to encourage you to be praying about our nation and our future, because God has promised that if his people who know him, who are called by his name, will humble ourselves, literally seek his face, his pleasure, and turn from our wicked ways, which includes indifference, even the failure to participate in the process of selecting the best possible leaders. And most people believe right now in America, they made the right choice. Even though we still want to see God doing things in his life, we are seeing some miraculous things happen with the economy. More people are working. More people in the minority community are working. And I know because of the time I spent with this man, he wants to help everyone that is lacking, everyone that is in need, everyone that feels overlooked. I've been with him now for about 2 years. I've never heard him talk about his own personal interests, his family interests, his personal investments, his business. Not one time, nor any of the members of the family. This is amazing. But what I've heard him talk about is his desire for you to have an opportunity, for you to have what freedom offers, for you to have a future. So let's pray to that end, because I know that pleases God when we see the benefits of freedom which he came to give us through Jesus Christ. Please pray. And please vote. Do not fail to take a stand for the wisest possible choices in all areas, in all communities.
This is so, so very, very important. I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet got ready to vote, get educated, get out and vote November the 6th. As a matter of fact, you can go to vfnkb.com/vote to get educated on the values of voters. You're seeing this right here. Go to vfnkb.com/vote. And we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts? You know, comment below. Write to us at friends at vfnkb.com. We love hearing from you. It's all of us together making wise decisions as Jesus Christ is our leader. It's very exciting. We get back from this break. We're going to hear firsthand from Cindy Jacobs about this is a hinge point. This is a turning point. This is a tipping point. And we have to be on the right side of history if we want history to go in the same direction it's going. Join us after the break.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partner for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We were talking about right prior to the break about how important it is to get to understand what God is doing, and that, you know, people might not be a man of God, could be, or a woman of God, but they definitely could be God's man for the hour.
No doubt. And God's the fact that God doesn't use perfect people, but throughout history and even today, he uses imperfect people. So
we know that for sure. We know that for
hello. Yeah, people,
you know, it's only by the grace of God.
That's
right. It is amazing.
But this notion that somebody has to walk spotless and be this perfect person to hold any kind of office or even to do anything for God, much less be a president or in public office.
Well, you know, John, that's what paralyzes people because they're judging other people.
Sure.
And their judgments are coming back on them. And they're really thinking that's how life is. But truly, Jesus says, at whatever point you judge others, you're judging yourself because,
same measure.
Because you're doing the same thing they're doing.
That's right.
Listen, we all need grace. We all need mercy. But God used Cyrus. I mean, I think it's important. I think it's probably also what's happening. A lot of people are just taking people's word for it and not reading the word. Hmm. They're not reading scripture.
But we know that based upon Gallup polls, only 3% of believers are actually reading the Bible for themselves.
3%?
3%.
That means 97% are not.
Reading the word.
Do you remember we had on the program, we had people being interviewed. They're coming out of a church gathering and interviewing them, asking them, you know, what are the four gospels? And they were like,
they have no clue.
Bob, Stanley,
which is important because it's just they're hearing things, but they're not reading the word of God for themselves. They have no spiritual truth. No, you know, you're open for deception.
You have to understand this. This is the reason why. Because there's eternal consequences.
Oh.
You know, don't care what men think about you.
Ignorance is bliss, right?
No.
So they think?
The most important thing about you is what you think about God.
That's right.
And if you don't think he's the son of God, if you think there's some other way to God other than Jesus, if you think there's some, that he's winking at this thing that you know he's not, you don't know he's not winking at, if you believe that lie and not know the truth, we're going to be judged at the judgment seat of
That's
Christ
right.
on that, you know. And when I read the Word of God, what happens to me is like, I go, I need Jesus.
Dear God,
I need Jesus, right?
Yeah, most definitely.
Not as bad as you. No, no.
Oh,
no.
Hey, that's
you
okay.
walk on
I
water.
Need
that's
no,
that's
I need him. I need him.
When you were being given a bath as a child, right? You got to put you in the water. Then the water split.
No, not at all. Maybe Pat
couldn't get you wet because every time they put you in water, just the water would pet and split like that.
No,
water from
not
a rock.
Necessarily, no.
But seriously, on that's good. It's good for you to read the word to realize you need a savior.
Yeah.
When people, a lot of people don't read the word because they read scripture, the Bible, because they think it makes me feel so bad. But what happens was, at that moment, maybe you were thinking too highly of yourself, and God loves you while you were still in our mess, you know, while we were yet a sinner, Christ died for us.
Believe it or not, he doesn't wait for you to get perfect and cleaned up before he chooses to love you. In that mess, he loves you anyway, so you can love yourself and be, you know, healed into the
heart. I'll talk about Ravi Zacharias says, you know, that God did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive.
Yeah.
And the miracle, you know, is not that I limp. The miracle is that I walk at all. And when you understand that, even when we talked about this, it's so important. You know, when somebody called Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect Son of God, they called him good teacher. He didn't say who you're calling teacher. He said who you're calling good. The only one that's good is God.
Yeah.
And that's when you get good off of you, when you get that burden off of you and realize there is good that comes out of your life when you're serving the Lord, but it's God's spirit in you that's empowering you to be good, and he gets the glory for that. Not being religious about it, the truth is, outside of God, you remember where we were and where we'd be again if he pulled back from us.
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage you in that to understand, get into the word, get into scripture and pray and get involved in what's going on, because then you could understand God uses imperfect people.
That's right.
You know?
And I think another thing we need to do is really address the self-righteous issue that seems so prevalent.
So what is it called?
Self-righteous.
What does that mean?
Well, thinking that you're perfect in a way, that you know, you've heard the statement, holier than thou.
So you're saying, like, if somebody was self-righteous, they would see themselves as the standard.
As the standard, right. And maybe the church has seen themselves that way, where they can't even accept someone else with flaws, being in a position of power, being an elected official. Everyone has flaws.
We remember when Jesus was ministering and walking on the earth, it was the religious folks, you know, who couldn't understand how can he not discern this woman at his feet was in prostitution a few weeks ago?
Because they were so perfect.
They were measuring her by themselves and their own standards, and he called them whitewashed tombs and hypocrites because the reality is we're all the same.
Yeah.
God loves us all the same. And the only way to God and is a way that God's established is through his son, Jesus Christ. And it's like, because God comes to live in us, our life gradually becomes and grows. We're saved the moment that we make that decision, but it takes time for our soul, what we think, what we want, what we feel, to be renewed over a period of time.
It's a renewing process, absolutely.
That's called discipleship.
That's right.
Which, by the way, is not happening. Yeah. You know, I hear Rick Joyner talk about that, of Morningstar Ministries, that 90% of the church is untrained for their calling. They feel like they, it means undiscipled.
Yeah.
And God's got some things set up. You know, we have Emmaus Road for you. You can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org and get on Emmaus Road and get discipled. Nobody's holding you back but you. You can make that decision.
Yeah, I had no charge to you. It's a wonderful opportunity for you to get some truth on the inside of you and make yourself strong in the Lord.
Well, this is so important. We're going to quickly go to this. There's a prophetic word, a prophetic time. Listen, you have to participate. Don't sit back and watch life like it's a television show. This is really happening. You're going to need to get out. You're going to vote. You're going to need to pray. And it's just so, so very important. As a matter of fact, Cindy Jacobs is having an event called Rise Up. It's so important, but she talks prophetically about what this moment in time is like. This is Cindy Jacobs.
Hi, I'm Cindy Jacobs. Want to talk to you about a prophetic word the Lord gave me recently for America, and it is that the nation is at a hinge point, meaning that either the door of destiny and the door of providence will open for the nation, or we're going to go the opposite way, and it will be a great, great battle for our future. So would you do something for me and for the nation? Would you pray and vote?
Start blessing your nation. Release the blessing of God. Speak about the beauty of the Lord and what God wants to do. Yes, there are many challenges, but none are too great for me. And the Lord says, I am going to begin to change things in this nation. You cannot imagine what I am going to do.
RiseUp18.com. Listen, it's time for us to rise up across the nation. Pastor John Kilpatrick is holding a midterm prayer. Listen, God looks for people to stand in the gap. Right where you are, you can begin to pray and begin to say, God, no matter what I'm thinking, no matter what I'm hearing, I'm turning to you. You're all omnipresent. You're omnipotent. You're right here, just like in Acts chapter 17. He says he's right there just waiting for you to reach out and to acknowledge him. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, God does so many awesome things, that we prayed for years.
For years. And we're actually starting to see them come
yes,
to pass.
Yes, but we prayed for years without seeing things, and it was really...
So don't give up.
You don't give up, and we're seeing it, but understand, it's just like a father that says, you know, okay, January you wanted to be with me, but I want to know if you want to be with me in February.
That's right.
I want to know if you're going to be with me in March. And it's not like you just check off a box and, you know, I love you, God, and I did what was right one particular year. It's like we stay continually in intimate relationship with him. That's why we actually ask him always and thank him for our food, and we abide with him. If you don't know how about abiding, we have a simple plan for you at iabide.org. Listen, it's about intimacy. We're coming to an end, but I want to hear from you. You know, what are your thoughts? Maybe you're moving prophetically yourself. Comment below. Share those prophetic words. Pray for each other. It blesses our heart to see you see somebody else in our family put a prayer request out, and then you see that prayer request in the comments area, and you pray for them. Also, we'd love to hear from you at friends at VFNKB.com, friends at VFNKB.com, and write to us. We're excited also about the book that we have out, you know, the pre-release of it, I Will Fight. It is time to fight. Understanding that when God's with you and you fight, you win.
And you have strategies for success. It just doesn't happen.
It doesn't. Believe me, it doesn't just happen. But I want to thank you for joining us. I want to be able to pray with you right now. Maybe you need healing in your body, maybe in your relationships. I just pray right now the Lord would just heal you in your body, that he would heal you even in your emotions, that he would heal your relationships, that he'd bring your prodigal children back to him and in turn back to you. Father God, we just thank you for what you're doing, Lord God. We pray right now that you would raise up your people, Father God, across the land, across the world, to be able to participate, Father God, in this awesome thing you give us called freedom in our nation, God, and across the world. We pray, Father God, for all those right now that are wanting to be a part of the economy and what's taking place that you're going to bring to this nation, God, in a legal way, God. We pray, Lord God, that you would end abortion, that you would send revival, that you would send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. God bless you.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this on to this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.